here with us for the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kedar Cheer-Kent. Governor Evers signed an executive order last week establishing a governor's task force on caregiving. And the group is supposed to address worker shortages and develop support services for families to improve caregiving quality. So what are your hopes for a statewide task force on caregiving? What aspects of caregiving need to be addressed first? And do you serve as a caregiver in some form? How has that role affected other parts of your life? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Lisa Pugh is executive director of the ARC Wisconsin, which supports people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. She's also co-chair of the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. Lisa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And we have Lynn Gall with us. She is the Family Caregiver Program Coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Office on Aging. She also co-chairs the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. Lynn, welcome to you.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start with your reaction, Lynn, to this call to establish a caregiving task force here in Wisconsin. What do you make of it?
Well, it was a very welcome surprise. We've been talking about this. Lisa and myself and other members of our alliance have been looking at this issue for quite some time, knowing that it's an issue that affects everyone. Caregiving is a pretty universal concern. We've either been a caregiver, will be a caregiver, or know someone who was, and we'll likely be the recipient of care ourselves. So knowing that our population has been shifting and getting a little bit older, it's really been an issue that's been on our radar at the State Office on Aging, and it was wonderful to hear this.
Lisa, how would you describe the state of caregiving right now in Wisconsin?
I think we've definitely reached a crisis level, and that's why this discussion is so important, because we are very soon, within the next 6 years, going to be at a state where we do not have enough workers to meet the need. In fact, I think a lot of people would already say that is the case. I do a lot of traveling in my work, meeting families of people with disabilities. Those folks can't find care now, and a lot of 80% of persons with disabilities live at home with their family members, and a lot of those folks are elderly themselves. So that's really reaching a crisis level in caregiving across the state.
Lisa, oftentimes we think of caregivers and we think of skilled nursing facilities, we think of assisted living communities. Who falls under this category of caregiver?
So I think there is a very broad definition of who is a caregiver. There is a paid workforce of folks who work in those facilities that you mentioned, and there's a significant vacancy rate, about a 20% vacancy rate in those types of facilities. So they're already having great difficulty finding and keeping workers. And then when you think about family caregivers, where that's where a majority of people with disabilities live and where there's a majority of caregiving for older adults, those folks are also experiencing difficulty either finding paid support or getting respite care and other supports themselves. So a family caregiver can be anybody who's providing care, help with somebody with meals, help with dressing, bathing, help with medications, getting to doctor's appointments. That's the type of family caregiving that we really see across the state.
When we were reading about this executive order, this new task force is charged with analyzing strategies to attract and retain a strong direct care workforce. We've been talking about workforce issues, finding strategies to support families providing caregiving and improving the quality of caregiving overall here. So, Lynn, are these the right goals to prioritize?
Yes, I think they are. Today we're about halfway through what the projected age shift that we're looking at as baby boomers are aging, and it's going to continue for the next 20 years or so. And so really needing to address those issues, what we're seeing now, as Lisa was saying, we have a shortage of people in facilities, and there are some programs that the state of Wisconsin has started, the Wisconsin WIS Caregiver Careers Program, to try to help bolster and track people to take jobs in, say, nursing homes and other facilities. But what's missing in that is we haven't really had that same recruitment and interest in developing the in-home care supports. And we really do need that. As you go around the programs that I run from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, The National Family Caregiver Support Program and the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program, great programs, and I highly encourage people to participate in them. But one of the things we are seeing more and more often is that even though the programs may be there to help hire someone to come into your home and help, if there isn't the workforce out there, if there isn't a respite provider or a in-home care provider to hire, it doesn't really matter if there are my programs are there to help, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I think that this task force is going to be able to do, is to kind of ensure that both parts of the system, the paid caregivers and the family caregivers, the unpaid caregivers, that they're working together to make a system that works for everyone.
We're talking about a caregiving task force proposed by Governor Tony Evers. Lynn Gall and Lisa Pugh are the co-chairs of the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. You can join in. What aspects of caregiving do you think need to be addressed first? Do you currently serve as a caregiver in some form? And how has that role affected other parts of your life? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. So as we look at the staffing issues, the workforce issues, and we've learned it's getting harder and harder to staff and keep caregivers in these jobs, Lynn, what can we do to address the staffing issues?
Well, I mean, one of the primary things that we hear is that it has to be a profession that people want to go into. When any person is deciding what do they want to do with their lives and the direction of their profession, is they have to say, is this going to be something that I can do and support myself? And the wages that are paid to direct care workers are very low, some of the lowest of all the jobs that are out there. So how do you get young people or other people, even people who are looking for a second work, you know, something to do in addition to their primary job, how do you get them to say, this is going to be a job I can do that my projected future earnings are going to be able to support myself? And I think that's one of the things the facilities and other places are competing with, you know, people who are working at fast food restaurants, other places down the street that they may be paying more. And this is, you know, difficult work. There's the level of somewhat of skilled nursing involved in some cases, and certainly in the home. Family caregivers, they have to do some of this. I mean, people are coming home from the hospital these days a lot quicker than they used to, and come home oftentimes with really conditions that they need some level of skill to take care of at home. So I think really making it a profession that it's attractive, that people can go into and know that they can support themselves and their families, is key.
Lisa, what kind of proposal might be able to move the needle on compensation and make an impact?
Well, that's what we hope comes out of the caregiver task force, by having, you know, bipartisan legislators and family members and caregivers that we can talk about those sorts of solutions. Because as Lynn mentioned, part of it is that low wage. We have to figure out how to increase the wages. We need training and respect for the profession, a career path for these workers. And then also, I think they need health care benefits. About a third of the workers, as far as the data tells us, are below the federal poverty line. A lot of those folks can't afford health care. And so one of the proposals we've been talking about is a Medicaid buy-in, where workers would be able to pay a premium if they're proving that they're working in the caregiver workforce, so that they can actually have access to affordable health care. I think all of those, this is going to be a multi-pronged solution to a very complex statewide problem. Wisconsin's not the only state that's experiencing this crisis. As baby boomers age into the era of needing care, and there's fewer people in that, you know, 18 to 60 workforce range, there's fewer people to provide care and more people who need care. How can we address these issues? And some of it has to do with technology, too. How can we better use technology to provide basic supports in certain circumstances for people? How can we be attracting different types of folks into the workforce? So I think we'll come out with a lot of solutions through this task force, and we hope that they can be prioritized and expedited, and that there'll be some funding behind them, too.
Let's bring in Nancy now in Glendale with thoughts on this. Nancy, hi.
Hi. Yes, I was calling. I've been a caregiver for the last 18 years, first for my my dad, and then now my mom. And during that time, I also had children of my own, so I've joined like the sandwich generation. And I guess mine's a question and a comment. I knew from like professional experience that I had kind of what was out there in terms of supports for my folks, and even then, it was really hard emotionally to go there and ask for help when we needed it, and also it was still overwhelming and somewhat confusing at times to access support that are out there. So I'm just wondering, I had a lot of things going for me, I guess, with time, you know, I had medical leave and things like that I could access to, so I had wages while I'm looking for supports. But what about the folks who don't have, maybe English isn't their first language, or they really don't have time, paid time off to even look for help, I guess. Will the task force be looking at some of those folks and how best to help them?
Yeah, Lisa, go ahead. Nancy is in the sandwich generation.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is definitely an issue that we need to address. And Lynn and I, through our work on the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance, we actually have 5 different work groups that are looking at many of these different issues. And one of them is underserved families, underserved caregivers. And how can we do a better job reaching these populations? One of the ideas that we hope will come forward in the task force is this idea of a family navigator. Part of the reason why our alliance was actually formed in the first place was a discussion where we heard from a panel of folks from the tribes and different other underserved populations in Wisconsin, and they talked about having someone, a peer caregiver, walk alongside them that could really be helpful in helping them find resources. So that's one of the solutions we hope we will see.
Lisa Pugh and Lynn Gall stay with us as we talk about a task force on caregiving. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how Governor Evers has commissioned a task force to better support family caregiving. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to AARP, there are 578,000 family caregivers here in Wisconsin, spending an average of $7,000 each year. And we learned last week that a bipartisan group of state lawmakers is introducing a plan that would give family members a tax break to offset some out-of-pocket costs of caring for a loved one. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Lynn Gall and Lisa Pugh stay with us. They're co-chairs of the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. Let's go to Mary now, joining us from New London. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was really excited to hear about the establishment of the task force, and it's going to directly benefit, the results of this task force will directly benefit our family. My husband and I are raising a son. He's 21 years old. He has an intellectual disability, and he wants what every other 21-year-old wants. He wants to move away from home. He wants to have a job in the community. He wants to socialize with his friends away from mom and dad. Right now, we consider ourselves pretty lucky because we have...
Oh, and Mary, it looks like we lost you there for a moment, but are you still there, Mary?
I am. I'm back.
Okay, great. Can you finish up there?
Yeah, so my son wants to live independently. He wants to work in the community and have a robust social life, and mom and dad shouldn't be doing that. We're lucky to have some paid support workers, but only for 13 hours a week right now. And if he's going to move out on his own, he's going to need 24/7 care. And where we're going to find that in New London, I have no idea.
Let's let Lisa respond.
Right,
yeah, Lisa, go ahead.
I meet so many parents just like Mary all across the state. As I said earlier, 60% of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Wisconsin live with family members, and about a quarter of those parents are already over age 60. So they're really reaching this crisis level discussion of what happens when I can no longer provide the care. And I think that's why, like Mary says, this task force discussion is so timely, because how are we going to have enough paid workers in order to meet this need, how can we make sure that Mary and her family have the supports that she needs, and how can we support her son? These are very complicated questions. One of the things that we're focusing on in our alliance is this idea of future planning. The ARC of the United States leads, has some evidence-based programming around future planning, which really helps families like Mary's think about what are some small steps they can take now, how can they get connected to community resources so that they're planning for a sustainable future for their son. But I think, again, the task force really needs to tackle some of these other very complicated issues so that we don't have families like Mary's going into crisis.
Lynn, we already know some about who's going to be on this task force. The executive order calls for members of the legislature, someone receiving caregiving services, and someone providing them, among others. It also says other individuals as the governor shall appoint. So who would you like to see brought to the table here?
Well, as a state employee, I have to say that's really not up to me to say. But I have to say that, you know, with the populations we know that are going to be affected by the changes that this task force is putting forward, I would have to say someone with a knowledge of dementia and what that means to the changes that's happening in the state. Right now, the population projected for people with dementia who are living in Wisconsin households is going to double between now and 2040. This age shift that I talked about briefly earlier is, we're about halfway through it right now, and so it's, you know, as we go forward, we need to figure out, we know we're going to have older people. It's great that we're living longer. It's great that we've had, you know, changes in our public health and things that are allowing us to live longer, but that also means that some of the limitations that come with living longer also are going to be more prevalent. And so the responsible thing, I think, is to plan for those things. In the State Office on Aging, we've been watching those numbers very closely and tracking them, and, you know, we know that this is coming. So, and that not only is it coming, it's already here. So what are we going to do to make sure that the families are supported? I think the supports for the family caregivers at home, their needs need to be heard, because they're the ones who are, you know, unlike generations past, people aren't, there isn't somebody at home to do this. Most people are working, more women in the workforce, and so you have, as one of the previous callers said, they're the sandwich generation. They're caring for their own kids. They're caring for, you know, their spouse may have a disability or some sort of limitation, and then they have their parents. So really understanding how that affects themselves, trying to hold a job, and then how that affects employers, too, who are struggling to keep their workforce.
Well, let's bring in another voice to the conversation. Marie joining us from Edgerton. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. I'll take my answer off the air. I'll give you a quick scenario. My husband was in the Veterans Hospital, and I noticed that a lot of the interns coming from UW-Madison they were like stumbling over him because there were so many of them. But now my husband's in a nursing home, and there is such a lack of CNAs in there and nurses. Wouldn't it be kind of, because I work a lot, so I can't be there for him every day because I was becoming part of his caregiving at the nursing home. And I would like to know if it's possible to get a lot of these interns kind of spreading out and knowing what it's like to work with other patients and residents in these nursing homes that are all over Wisconsin, which have a very, very, I mean, they're so overworked and underpaid.
Well,
I would like to.
Yeah, let's pose that idea to you, Lisa. What do you see there?
So Lynn mentioned that the state has tested over the last year a caregiver careers program that worked with the technical colleges to try to provide bonuses and free tuition to get more people into the CNA programs through our technical colleges. I think it's too early to say whether or not that's been a success, but it was one kind of effort to drive additional training, drive more people into that field, and provide some bonuses for longevity because there are such high turnover rates. So I think we need to get creative about the strategies that get people into those positions, into the appropriate training, and to make sure that they are not only able to serve people in facilities, but also that they're trained in supporting people in the community as well.
So, Lisa, how would you like to see success measured here in this task force? What would that look like to you?
Well, I think to the earlier question about membership, I think that the membership of the task force really needs to represent the need across the state. We need underserved families and caregivers represented. We need representatives for older adults and folks with Alzheimer's and people with disabilities and their family members, as well as professionals and agencies who hire direct care workers and people who do the work themselves. So I think that's where we're going to get the best solutions. I do think that we need to pay attention also to what's happening at the federal level as they're talking about paid family leave. We need an inclusive definition of what that is. There's many siblings providing care for people, spouses. It's not just parents of young children, but that's part of the equation. We need to take an age span approach. So I think the private sector can be involved. Government can be involved in paid family leave policies. And I think just recognizing that this is an extremely important profession that's essential to our economy, really. And so how can we think about this as something that's about the health of the state?
And Lynn, as we wrap up, what do you want to leave with caregivers right now? What can you tell them?
Well, one of the things that I think that every caregiver should remember is that they're not alone, and that what we would like to do as part of this effort is to really reach out to them and ask them to become more involved, to let us know what it is that they need in their lives, how is caregiving affect them, because this task force really needs to know that information and what sort of supports and help do they need in their lives, because that will help shape some of these policies going forward. So their involvement and willingness to talk about it and not be, as one of the callers said, you know, it's sometimes it's difficult to stand up and say, I need help.
And Lynn, we have to go now, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the conversation.
Lisa Pugh is Executive Director of the ARC of Wisconsin. Lynn Gall is the Family Caregiver Program Coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Office on Aging. They co-chair the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. And you hear this conversation right here on the Ideas Network.